This week we have A Bunch of Babysitters, A Deranged Killer, and Nora Crank. The movie's fresh, but we want to know, is it really though? What is good, Podcast Land, and welcome to another episode of Is It Really Though? Podcast where we judge movies based on their Rotten Tomatoes scores. My name is Matt, and with me, always, Ty.
What's up, what's up?
No nickname this week, you lucked out.
Yeah.
Could have called you Sam Loomis or something.
That would have been the dumbest thing you said.
Today we are talking about Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
This movie has a 96% on the tomato meter, 89% on the audience score. So, pretty high ratings.
Yeah.
This movie stars Donald Pleasance, Jamie Lee Curtis, Nancy Keys, PJ Souls, and Nick Castle.
In relation to Frank Castle, the Punisher.
The Punisher.
Not really.
No. No relation whatsoever. This movie had a budget of $325,000.
Well, it's like they probably did it on one street around the corner from a school.
Yeah, so not a lot of locations.
All right, yeah. Walk 20 feet for the next scene.
And I know there's a lot of stuff about this that, yeah, you could tell it was definitely a cheap budget. But it made almost $50 million.
Same.
So that's quite a smash, if you ask me. This movie was released on October 25th, 1978, right in time for Halloween.
Yeah.
It has a runtime of an hour and 31 minutes.
Perfect.
Directed by John Carpenter.
The John Carpenter.
And the movie is rated R.
Rated R.
All right, guys, we're finally here. The best movie of all time.
Whatever.
My opinion is. We're talking about Halloween, Ty. What are your first thoughts on this? Well, I guess it's not first thoughts because obviously you've seen this movie before.
Seen it a million times. It's probably my most watched Halloween movie ever. I mean, there was a time in my life, probably a couple years ago, where I'd watch this every night in October to fall asleep to.
Blows my mind because you text me every freaking day about Jason Voorhees and the boner that you have for Voorhees.
I'm off Fridays, and they're always on Fridays. Fuck. Oh, yeah, this movie's great. It's amazing. I mean, for being in 78 and it still captures my attention all this long, even though I've seen it.
Right.
How many times I still watch it, even though I know everything that's gonna happen, and I don't know why. It's just one of those movies to where it's like it's on.
Yeah,
it's on. And I mean, it's, I'll even put it on, and I don't really put movies on.
And it's one of those movies that like sucks you in. Like before you know it, you're like 45 minutes into the movie, and you like feel like you blinked, and you're already there.
We gotta finish it now,
right? Yeah,
you know, I mean, the acting's not very good. It's 78.
Yeah,
the acting's not the best.
This movie was the introduction to Laurie Strode. Not Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis, who we all know is Janet Leigh's daughter from Psycho.
Yep.
So.
Who has a cameo and 20 years later, I found that out from you.
It's so dope. I love it. This movie, I have probably, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, I have probably seen this movie close to 100 times in my lifetime.
That's it? I've seen it more than that.
I used to put this, I had the VHS of this. That's how old I am. I used to put it on almost every night to go to bed. And I'm not saying that because it's a boring movie, but I just would put it on and kind of like, you know, like mindless, you know, like white noise or something like that.
Yeah. I'm like that right now with Indiana Jones. I don't know what it is.
And so I put it on and I would watch it. So I've probably seen the beginning of it a lot more than I've seen the end of it.
Agreed.
This is definitely the most watched movie of my lifetime that I've seen.
Yeah.
Out of all of them. And I love everything about it. Like you said, it doesn't get old.
Mm-mm.
It's so, like, the music is awesome. There are quite a few movies, bro, moments in this movie that you kind of really have to sustain belief.
Well, it was 78. People probably don't think dissected movies like they do like nowadays.
Right. There were no podcasts or anything like that. So it was just...
Like, I follow a Twitter handle that's called Movie Mistakes.
Yeah.
That's their entire being is just...
Right.
This and that. So
I'm gonna have to follow them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so speaking of mistakes, I know there's one little part. So like, this is supposed to be shot in or take place in Haddonfield, Illinois. And it's obviously shot in Los Angeles or close to Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's fucking, the weather's beautiful. Well, hey.
There's actually a spot where you see some palm trees where she's walking home. And so,
come on, Carpenter.
Yeah, there are some mistakes about that, but it's an A+ in my book.
It's a good movie.
So
it's got boobs in it too. If that's why you like scary movies, there's boobs in it
for like 2 seconds, dude.
There's more than, there's pairs of boobs.
No, there's not. Yes, well, okay. Is. Okay. So the sister and PJ Souls. Yes. Yep. Okay. Two pairs. Yeah.
PJ Souls is in Stripes. Anybody?
PJ Souls is actually pretty popular and she's in a lot of other stuff.
Well, Stripes comes to mind.
Stripes come. Well, look it up. Let's see what else she's in. I know she did a lot of horror movie type stuff. I think she's almost like a horror scream queen. Halloween, The Possessed.
She's in Carrie.
She's in Carrie.
Jawbreaker, that one.
I have no clue what Jawbreaker is.
I don't know.
1999. Oh, that's the one that was like Rose McGowan on the cover.
Put the Jawbreaker in her throat and she dies. Yeah.
I haven't seen it, but.
Oh, I've seen
the cover. I can picture the cover in my head right now. Yeah, so this was, I mean, she...
Well, you see her boobs.
That's not the only reason to watch this movie.
No, not at all, but it's just a bonus. It's just a bonus, I guess.
So what do you think of Jamie Lee Curtis in this for her first role?
I don't know. I mean, she's fine. I think she did great.
I disagree.
I'm like, I don't know. They're like, oh, she did pretty great. Yeah.
There's some points where she's like really when, like whining and like, yeah. Oh no.
Like the part that makes me, that I pick up every single time is when she's walking home from school by herself and she bumps into, whose dad is that?
That's Annie's dad.
And she like smiles and like covers her face. Oh yeah. She smiles.
Yeah. Like she's totally out of character.
Every
yeah.
single time.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. This is just one of the, I don't know. It's hard for me to like judge the actual acting in it. I don't know if it's because I love the movie so much. I just want to like separate the two. But I guess she's meh.
She's totally
is meh.
Meh. Like either way. Yeah.
I mean, it gets better. I mean, Halloween H2O, I watched that like the other day. I mean, she was way better in that one.
Well, she's an established actress at that point. Yeah. And yeah. So like her first role to.
Yeah, okay, so for her first role, she did fine.
Right. Meh. Yeah.
Okay. Meh, fine. What's fine in meh?
What?
Feh?
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 So we'll give her a pass. All right. So what do you think of just, like, the premise of this? Like, so if you don't know, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself with fun facts or whatever, but this was supposed to be a one-off series. So okay. Kind of like their name Halloween was supposed to be in every movie. Like, the title of the movie is supposed to be, like, Halloween, and each one is supposed to be, like, a different theme.
Okay.
So that's why there is Halloween 1 and Halloween 2. This was such a success. They made Halloween 2 really quickly.
Halloween 3 didn't have
And then Halloween 3 has nothing to do with it because they were going to try to do the anthology or individual movies or whatever.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Halloween 3?
No.
Halloween 3 is great because it's got, like, this...
Is it kids?
No, well, the whole premise of it is that there's this evil corporation. I'm going to throw some spoilers out there for Halloween 3, but yeah, it's old and yeah, whatever. But there's this evil corporation and they're selling these masks to all these kids. And there's three of them, the Silver Shamrock masks. Yeah. And Owen loves this song and he texts me all the time about it. But like they'd have this little catchy theme song in the thing. It's like 8 more days till Halloween, 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 8 more days till Halloween, Silver Shamrock.
That's funny.
And so, and that song plays like 45 times in the movie. So it gets stuck in your head. And it's, if you know that song or that movie, it's probably stuck in your head now. But when they get in front of the TV on Halloween night, with their masks on, like the masks like become part of them.
Oh, okay.
And like take over and they all die, like stuff like that.
Crazy.
And so that's what
sounds stupid.
It's actually okay. Yeah. It's meh. Jamie Lee Curtis is actually does a voice cameo in that. There's a part where they go to this town and like there's a curfew, and she is the voice actress for the curfew. So, yeah, Halloween 2. What do you think about Halloween 2? I know that this is just Halloween, but we're just gonna go like this, I have such a love for this franchise.
Gonna lie, I don't think I've actually seen it all the way through.
So, okay,
I've seen probably the first 20 minutes where it picks up directly after this movie,
right?
But I mean, maybe.
Have you seen
sat and watched? I've probably seen snippets of it.
Have you seen Michael Myers kill a nurse and some dude in a hot tub by turning the heat up really, like?
Does not ring a bell.
Really? So you haven't seen a lot of Halloween 2.
Yeah, I'm just I'm an original guy, unless it's Back to the Future.
And we were talking pre-show. You haven't seen the 2018 remake of it?
Nope. I feel like she's broke and she needs money.
Jamie Lee Curtis needs money?
I'm just kidding.
No way.
No, I don't really think that. I just have not seen it. And I couldn't tell you why. Maybe the fact that I don't know. I can't really say I don't want to watch that because it might tarnish this one, because H2O is actually all right.
So let's do a rundown of the Halloween movies real quick of their Rotten Tomato scores. Like we said, this one got 96%. I'm just going to do...
It's just going to go downhill from 96 out of
here. So Halloween 2...
We peaked at one.
Halloween 2, 32%. But the audience score was 63%.
Still, you're peaking. Or we've already peaked.
Halloween 3 was 41%, so we're going up.
Okay, it's a V-shape right now.
Halloween 4, 29%.
I don't even know what shape that is now.
Halloween 5, 3%, or 13%.
Ugh.
Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, 9%.
Damn.
Halloween H2O, 53%. Halloween Resurrection, 11%. That one's got Bust a Bus in it.
Oh, I've seen that one. Yeah, where they go into the house.
The Rob Zombie Halloween, 27%. Mm. Halloween 2 remake Rob Zombie, 21%. Then we get to Halloween 2018, 79%. Hmm. So it is definitely the better sequel out of all of them.
All right, then.
But... you kind of, with the Halloween franchise, there's a lot of canon and lore like that you have in there that if you follow it or try to, it does not make sense. So in the first one, Michael Myers is not related to Laurie Strode at all, right?
In the what one?
In the original one, this one.
Oh, yeah.
She's not related. The second one, they say that the reason he's still after her is because he's her brother. And
wait, they're not related in this one?
No, there's no mention of it at all.
So when oh okay,
because this one is just supposed to be like the I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's I think it's supposed to be called like the Babysitter Killer or Stalker or something like that is what the name of it was supposed to be.
Gotcha.
And they totally changed it, you know, when it was I think it was released so close to Halloween that
so now she's related.
In two she's related to him.
Oh yeah, she's related because in H2 she's yeah. like that's my brother.
Three, or four,
shit like that.
It gets really weird down the line. But in the new Halloween that came out, they call that a direct sequel to this one.
Huh.
So they totally erase everything from the previous movies and change the plot point of it. And they do in that one say that she is, I want to say, yeah, for sure that they said that she's his brother.
Huh.
In that one too.
Well, there you go.
But I'm giving you homework. You need to go and watch the new Halloween.
You got fucking, what's today, 28th?
Yeah.
Got three more days of this shit, and then I'm on to something else after that. And it ain't Christmas either.
It is what it is,
bro. It ain't Christmas. It's not Christmas on November 1.
No, after this, we're doing our... Thanksgiving for the fans, yeah. So are there any other things that you want to talk about? I do want to talk about the score a little bit of this.
I mean, it's iconic.
It is absolutely iconic.
Like, you hear the score anywhere in the world, I guarantee most people are going to know exactly what it is.
Absolutely. Like, just hands down, the greatest. I mean, of all horror movies, I think this is the greatest score of all of them.
It's the most consistent, I feel like. Because I've been watching the Friday the 13th. Like, it has similarities, but it's not...
Well, it does change over time as far as the way it's like the Halloween 2 has kind of like a little like a synthesizer type vibe to it.
The notes are still the same.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But it, yeah, it does change a little bit.
It probably is the best horror movie score.
Tweet at us if you think that you have a different opinion on this, and we'll talk about it. But yeah, I definitely think that it was just a brilliant piece of work. And John Carpenter and Deborah Hill wrote that. Like, they created it and did the music for it. And I just thought it was amazing.
It's great.
And so for this week's pick three, we had talked about this. Our favorite, and maybe not favorite score, but iconic scores of all time. So what are your three?
Halloween, Back to the Future.
Okay.
I don't know what it, after like doing this and hearing myself, like I love Back to the Future, probably my favorite ever. Third one. Man, nothing comes to mind.
Nothing comes to mind?
It will when
out
you,
of all of them.
when you say one, like 50 of them are gonna pop in my head.
So mine I kinda try to pick from like my favorite genres of movies. And these aren't necessarily like my favorite of all time, but they're like ones that I listen to a lot.
Oh, Shining. I can say The Shining.
Okay. The Shining?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went with Halloween for my horror movies. I went with Married Life from Up for my like Disney Pixar movies.
Never seen it.
You've never seen Up?
No.
Oh my gosh, dude. The first 5 minutes of that movie will make you cry.
Doubtful.
No, I'm dead serious. Like, it will make you cry. You have a wife, you love her, it will make you cry.
Well, yeah.
No, you will. And then my third, I kind of like an action, like I'm like sci-fi superhero movie type stuff. And I kind of tried to put them all together. And I know it sounds cliche, but I'm just going to roll with Imperial March from Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
So
I just thought of Avengers.
Well, and I'm thinking like I'm also like throwing out there, I'm like, how great is the Terminator 2 score? Da 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 da. And like, so
I'm taking Shining off and I'm adding the Avengers.
Okay. So that was, I mean, I was like Batman, like, but then you get into like a John Williams or a Danny Elfman soundtrack or score. And they sound so similar. Jaws. Like, it's really hard to just, to, you know, tell the difference between two of them. Like right now, if I played Superman or if I told you to hum Superman and hum Star Wars, you probably couldn't do it because they sound so similar. But that's this week's pick three. And I really don't have much else to talk about for like opening thoughts. Do you have anything else?
No. Are we going to do movies, bro, later?
Yeah, we'll get into the movies, bro, as they go along or as they pop up.
Okay.
And for all you new listeners, and I don't know if I have to explain this or whatever, but movies, bro, is like when you really just can't explain why a movie does something
like
other
one
than
one scene she's wearing a cardigan sweater and the next she's wearing a tube top.
Or
and there's no explanation.
There's just no explanation for why it happened other than it's a movie. It's a movie, bro.
Yeah.
Like, so all right, well let's take a break and then we will get into what the facts.
What the facts.
All right, we're gonna get into what the facts. Let's go.
WTF. So the original script was titled The Babysitter Murders. I think you said that earlier.
Sorry to steal your thunder, bro.
Dick. So it was supposed to have the events take place over several days, but a budget decision to change the script to have everything happen on the same day. And it was decided that Halloween, the scariest night of the year, was the perfect night for this to happen.
Yep. Great choice.
Yep.
So from a budget of $300,000, the film went on to gross $47 million, what I said earlier. In 2018, taking
2008.
Or 2008, yes, excuse me, sorry.
On it.
That would be the equivalent of $150 million that this movie made, making it one of the most successful independent movies of all time.
That's pretty insane. It's a lot of money. So John Carpenter considered the hiring of Jamie Lee Curtis as the ultimate tribute to Alfred Hitchcock's Janet Leigh, which was her mother. In her and Psycho. Ironically, during this same period, Universal Studios producers and director Richard Franklin were trying to enroll Jamie Lee in the new production of Psycho 2. That would have been cool.
Yeah, that would have been cool, but I did like how they did Psycho 2. So you haven't seen Psycho 2 yet, have you? So in Psycho 2, they got Moira, it's Moira Crane, right? Or
yeah.
Her sister that comes looking for her.
Oh, yeah.
She comes back in that
movie.
Yeah,
I saw the preview. Yeah. I saw the trailer so, for it. It actually looks pretty good.
But, and so I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. I had not seen, I had seen Psycho, but I never sat down and I dissected it, watched it like I had for before this podcast. And I absolutely love that movie. And I owe a ton of thanks to Hitchcock and Psycho because, like you said, if it wasn't for that movie, we would not have Halloween. There is also another homage to it in the part where Michael goes to stab his sister when he's young. They kind of show Michael stabbing, and they show the knife stabbing, which here's the movie's bro moment.
Right.
He's like stabbing her leg.
Yeah.
Because there's no way he's stabbing her chest
yep.
or anything like that. But that is, that shot, I mean, if it wasn't on purpose, it definitely pays homage to Psycho.
Yeah.
So I think that I just absolutely love it. So of all the girls in this, PJ Souls, and then Nancy, I forget her real name, but Annie, the girl that plays Annie, and Jamie Lee Curtis, they're supposed to be teenagers in this movie. Only Jamie Lee Curtis was a teenager.
You can totally tell.
During this movie. Definitely the youngest of all of them.
So as the film was shot out of sequence, John Carpenter created a fear meter so that Jamie Lee Curtis would know what level of terror she should be exhibiting.
And so,
reminds me of like Chip Kelly in his football when he's got like those place cards and he's an organ.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's got like a duck and like a blue box. That's, you know what I mean?
Right. I totally get that. Like how they would have done that. And that kind of, I think, explains some of the acting choices by Jamie Lee Curtis for me, you know, so like because she's kind of all over the place in some spots, like she's really terrified, she's really calm, she's really so
that shows it. They shot it out of sequence,
so. Yeah. I mean, I can definitely see that now. So, Carpenter's intent was never to have Michael Myers relate to the audience, so but that's kind of how it works with horror movies, like they fall in love with the killer. I mean, weirdly enough.
Well, the older you get, the more you relate with like the villains in some of these movies.
Right.
Have you noticed that? Like,
yeah, definitely. Like when you're younger, like you like they say it all the time. Like when you're younger, you idolize Batman. When you get older, you understand the Joker.
Yeah.
But, and you totally do. But so because of that, they never call. They like he never really like even in the credits he's called the Shape, which is a weird choice. For me, instead of Michael Myers.
Well, they have two other people cast as Michael Myers.
Well, and I think that's so that they, I mean, he's not a human being. He's just an entity, a shape or whatever. And so, but it was never his intention to have the audience be drawn to him.
Where am I at? So half the $300,000 budget was spent on a Panavision camera, so the film would have a 25.35:1 scope. And Donald Pleasance was paid $20,000 for 5 days of work.
And so Donald Pleasance was the only established actor in this movie.
Yep.
And I had never seen him in anything else. But yeah, I think that was the big draw because in the title card,
The Great Escape.
The title card, it says Donald Pleasance Halloween. And it says introducing Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode. So
20 grand for 5 days. I'll take that any day of the week.
Especially in 1978, dude. That's a lot of dough. That's
a lot of dough. Let's get that calculator out and see what that's worth.
Try to figure that out. So in another homage to Psycho, we said this in the Psycho podcast, but if you haven't listened to that one, we're going to say it here. Sam Loomis was the name of the boyfriend in Psycho. Mm-hmm. And that is who the reason we get Dr. Sam Loomis in this movie.
$82,761 today's money.
For
5 days
of work. 5 days of work. Check, please.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah.
I want to make a time machine and go back and make some kind of money.
Right. Do you think, like, well, no, I was going to say, if you could go back in a time, like, into the time machine or whatever, and knowing, like, what becomes popular now, even if you knew that, I think that stuff like this is such a lightning in a bottle that comes organically.
Yeah.
That you can't recreate it.
Nope. I agree. If I had a time machine, I would do what Marty McFly did. Just sports book almanac.
Try to just make yourself
just fucking
rich as all get out.
So the stabbing sound effect is actually a knife stabbing a watermelon. Have you seen those videos on the internet of, like, special effects guys and the shit that they do?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I saw the one where they did get, what's the, John Krasinski in the Netflix one, Quiet Place?
Oh, Quiet Place?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Some of the stuff they did was just insane. He just has, like, dirt in his living room. And, like, so anyway, that was my tangent, but there's a knife stabbing a watermelon.
So the Halloween theme is written in a rare 5/4 time signature. I have no clue what that means. So if you're into music or whatever, let me know. But he learned this rhythm from his father. And it's so effective. It's such a good score.
Yeah. Halloween was shot in 20 days in the spring of 78. On the budget of $300,000, it became the highest grossing independent movie ever at that time.
So
20 days?
In the spring, so here's another little fun fact I'll talk about that. Since it was springtime and everything's green and blooming and stuff like that,
yeah.
So they had to go to like a craft store or something like that, and they bought fake leaves and they painted them, and they would literally have to place them all over for the shot and then go pick them up and then replace them for the next shot as they're walking down the street.
Wow.
Because they only had so much and it was all hand painted to make it look like it was the fall. And like I said, there was some little bit of miscues in there. There's a scene right at the beginning where Laurie Strode is walking and you can see palm trees behind her.
Right.
So you clearly know it's not in Illinois. And then there's another part where you can see, I'm pretty sure it's John Carpenter's cigarette smoke coming out from the bushes off screen. So a little,
is that the creeper part?
Couple bloopers. It's right kind of where Michael pops out of that bush. Yeah.
The creeper part, yeah.
Yeah.
So PJ Souls went to a screening of the movie after it was released just to a regular audience.
Mm-hmm.
She was very amused with her nude scene. And the line of "see anything you like" in the movie.
Yeah.
Audience member who is male, shout out, "Hell yes, I do." Unaware that she was right behind him. Dennis Quaid was her boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
Asked her if she wanted him to confront the man, but she declined. She was too amused from the experience. Quaid was originally supposed to play Linda's boyfriend, Bob Sims, but scheduling conflicts prevented this.
Huh. I did not know that. That's interesting.
So, the more you know.
John Carpenter did write the role of Linda for PJ Souls after seeing her performance in Brian De Palma's Carrie.
Huh.
So, have you seen Carrie?
Nope.
Oh my gosh, dude. I'm now taking auditions for a new co-host.
Do it. So Jamie Lee Curtis admits that she made up just the Two of Us song she sang to herself at the movie's beginning when she was walking home from school.
Sorry, repeat that one more time.
What'd you know the song she sings at the beginning when she's walking home, the Just the Two of Us?
Who sings that?
Jamie Lee Curtis.
She sings a song in this?
Yeah.
Where?
At the fucking beginning.
Am I drawing a blank?
Walking home from school. Yeah. It's called Just the Two of Us, and she made it up.
Oh, I do not remember her singing a song. How could I see this so many times and not remember the song? I remember when Annie sings her stupid song, "Oh, Paul, oh, Paul."
No. Nope.
Oh. So Deborah Hill wrote most of the dialogue for the female characters, and Carpenter concentrated on Dr. Loomis's speeches.
Nice.
Which makes really a lot of sense. Why wouldn't you do that if you have a male and a female on set? Like, why wouldn't you
just do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
So inside Laurie's bedroom, there's a poster of a painting by James Ensor. Ensor was a Belgian expressionist painter who used to portray human figures wearing grotesque masks.
Okay.
So,
little fun fact, if you don't know this, it's pretty well common out there, but the mask for Michael Myers is a painted William Shatner mask.
Yes.
And also, if you put a wig on it, it also looks a lot like Mariah Carey.
Can't unthink that now.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the opening POV sequence took 2 days to film, which they did absolutely great on that because there's only a few spots.
Like the part in the rain?
No, the very beginning part, yeah, where Michael's outside and he sees his sister and boyfriend go up and get it on, and then he goes and stabs her.
Oh, I thought when he was escaping.
No.
Okay.
So, but there's only a couple cuts in that scene, and there's one part, I'm pretty sure it's right after they grab the knife, and FYI, that's Deborah Hill's hand, because they needed a smaller hand for that shot. And then there's another cut where he puts the mask on. There's a small little cut right there.
Huh.
But other than that, it seems seamless.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It does.
So speaking of that, like, I'm just throwing stuff out there because my mind's going 100 miles an hour. Have you seen Silent House with Scarlet Witch? It's not Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen. Elizabeth Olsen. That's
no.
it. I saw it once, but that movie is, I'm pretty sure it's like an hour and a half long, and it's one shot. I don't know if it's consistently one shot.
It's crazy.
But it's edited to look like one shot.
Huh. So I guess there's a documentary short called Halloween Unmasked 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 1999. So it was revealed that the crew had chosen two different masks for Michael Myers to decide on. The first was a Dawn Post Emmett Kelly smiling clown mask that they put frizzy red hair on. This was an homage to how he killed his sister Judith in a clown costume. They tested it out and it appeared very demented and creepy. The other mask was the 1975 Captain James T. Kirk mask.
Damn, still your thunder. Sorry, bro.
That was purchased for around $1. It had eyebrows and sideburns. They ripped off the eyebrows and sideburns. The face was painted fish belly white and the hair was spray painted brown. The eyes were opened up more. So they tested out the Kirk mask and the crew decided it was much more creepy because it was emotionless. This became the Michael Myers mask.
Yeah.
I wonder how many like masks have been sold.
Of Michael Myers?
Of Michael Myers masks.
Well, like, so the more they go into the franchise, the mask is never the same
nope.
in any of them. And they always look different. Some of them look really shitty. Like, you could definitely do better than that. Right. But I don't know if it's intention like, that, you know, like, this is just a mask that they pulled off of a, you know, a Halloween store or something like that. But
right.
it was, some of them look really bad. But I don't see William Shatner at all. Do you?
Hell no.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why they ripped the hair and the sideburns off and they painted it white.
And I think they did a great job with that because it does show like zero emotion whatsoever.
Right.
You know, there's only one time where you get any little emotion in the movie, and that's after Michael kills the boyfriend and kind of does a little head nod type thing.
Right.
And that's it. So back to the score. Carpenter composed the score in 4 days.
That's nuts.
And I, like I said, I know nothing about music, but that seems maybe not fast, but that seems super fast to me.
Really fast. So Donald Pleasance confessed to John Carpenter that the main reason why he took the role of Dr. Sam Loomis was because his daughter Lucy, who was a musician, had loved Carpenter's musical score for the previous movie, Assault on Precinct 13.
I didn't know that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching The Thing the other night, and that's a Carpenter movie. And I was trying to see if like the score kind of had any like same beats from it.
Right.
And it really doesn't. And I think that Carpenter like musically is a genius as far as score wise, because a lot of his stuff is pretty iconic.
Right.
So Jamie Lee Curtis, like we said, this was her first movie.
I feel bad for giving her a man. She did more than me.
Okay.
She was a teenager. I'm giving her more than a man.
Okay.
Okay.
Set. She was paid $8,000 for her efforts in this movie.
Well, 20 days, like.
Right, but to be the main star, like.
Yeah, nowadays that's absurd. That's absurd, but in 1978.
Yeah.
Were horror movies that big of a thing like they are now in 78?
No.
Doubt it.
So, well, they were getting there, but like, see, this but is like the slasher genre jump off. Like,
now,
this is.
Yeah, now it, you can go back and say that, but. Okay. Anyways, where was I at? Oh, so the movie that Tommy and Lori are watching is The Thing from Another World.
Right.
From 1951. John Carpenter went on to direct The Thing in 82.
The remake, yes.
So.
Donald Pleasance, like we said, did all of his scenes in only 5 days of shooting for a total in the movie of just 18 minutes.
Yeah, he's not in it very much.
It's kind of like Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. Beetlejuice is only in the movie for like 25 minutes.
Yep. Where am I at? I'm all over the place here. Oh, so originally Dr. Loomis was supposed to have a phone conversation with his wife, but Donald Pleasance didn't do it, saying he thought the character shouldn't have a family or a past.
And he really doesn't Mm-mm. have any backstory.
How cool would it be to see like a prequel of just like, it's called like Loomis.
No,
and you get
like
the springboard of how Dr. Loomis came about. All the psychos and
I don't want that. Shit. No way. Whatever. You get that in a little bit in the Rob Zombie remake.
I like that actor who played Loomis in that one though.
Yeah, that's Michael McDowell.
He's good.
I'm pretty sure that's who it is. But I feel like there's a lot more backstory of Michael and stuff like that in that movie. So if you want that, go watch that movie. It's a good movie. It's for what it is, a remake and a Rob Zombie. Like, I'm a fan of Rob Zombie. I like the music. I like most of his movies. Some of them are a stretch, but he did it in my book. I give his Halloween movie a pass.
So, my movie's Bros. How the fuck does he know? Okay, I'm going to tie two things into one here. Wait, did I skip you?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, go ahead. Then okay. I'll come back to mine.
Okay. Originally, Nick Castle was just on the set to watch the movie be filmed. It was a suggestion of Carpenter that he took up the role of Michael Myers. So they didn't even have...
Oh, now it's a role, but in the thing...
He's listed as the shape. Yes.
Okay, so my ultimate movies bro in this movie is how the fuck does he know how to drive a car?
Okay, well, let's get to that movie.
I've got a fun fact on it that I said ties into it.
Like Loomis says in the movie, like he says he doesn't even know how to drive a car, and Loomis says he was doing really good last night.
Okay, but here is a simple but effective explanation. When Dr. Loomis drove Michael to sanity hearings over the years, Michael simply watched very closely and carefully as Dr. Loomis operated the car.
Right. Loomis says he's been plotting and planning this for years.
But I never thought of it like that. So my movie's bro is just gone now.
Yeah. You just wasted your own argument.
Poof.
So two things here. This movie was selected in 2006 for the National Film Registry. That's like whoever like... They preserve national film. So, like, this film is officially historic in the Library of Congress.
Gotta be.
For culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. So, like, the way it was shot, all that stuff, it's in the Library of Congress because of that. Which is kick-ass, if you ask me. Then also, to jump on that, this was voted the fifth scariest film of all time by Entertainment Weekly, which they're wrong. This movie is not scary.
I was trying to get my wife to watch it. She's like, I don't like scary movies. I'm like, this is probably the least scary movie you've ever seen.
Like, Owen keeps asking me to watch this movie. He keeps begging me. He's like, Dad, can I watch this movie? And I'm like, there's like two parts. Like, the part where Linda and her boyfriend bone, and like, that's it. Like, the only part in
so
that, like,
watch it on TV.
I know. There's no blood. There's nothing in this movie.
You get a few jump scares, maybe, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
And it's literally, I think it's more of just a psychological horror.
Yeah. Well, my wife was asking me, we were watching last night, we were watching Nightmare on Elm Street. The first one was on TV. And, you know, it got me thinking about you and me. Quoting Scream here. No. But she's like, why do you like these? These aren't even scary. And I said, I get it. They're not scary. It's almost like comfort movie, like comfort food, like comfort movies. Yeah. Just a movie that you put on that, like, you know, every bit and piece of it, and it's still satisfying to you. Like, it's like, you know, how macaroni and cheese is going to taste.
It tastes so good.
But you eat it all the time because it's macaroni and cheese.
But this movie is not scary at all.
No.
At all. Not it's like a softball horror movie. I mean, honestly, it's a softball horror movie.
Yeah, definitely.
Literally a softball
movie. Yeah.
So the Myers house is actually an abandoned building the filmmakers found in South Pasadena, California. It later became a chiropractor's office.
That's awesome.
it's weird, not, though, because it's like,
if it
looks like it's in a neighborhood.
If his chiropractic office is not called We'll Fix Your Shape or something like that, yeah. That's a total fail on him.
Yeah.
So Jamie Lee Curtis has played Laurie Strode in a lot of films, in five different decades, from the '70s to 2010. In this one in 1978, she was in this one. She played Laurie Strode in Halloween 2, which took place in 1981, or came out in 1981. Halloween H2O, which came out in 1998. Halloween Resurrection in 2002, which. She's in it for like 2 seconds and she dies, by the way.
Right.
And then Halloween 2018, mm-hmm. where direct sequel. So that's where I'm talking about, like, the lineage and stuff like that. You cannot follow it in this movie mm-hmm. or in these movies at all, because she died in 2002, but yet here right. she is alive in 2018 playing her again. So, yeah. And then she'll be playing her again in Halloween Kills next year. Which comes out in 2021. And then Halloween, I forget the third title. It's drawn a blank, but there's a third sequel that's already been greenlit coming out.
Let It Die.
No. Ugh. Give me Michael Myers for the rest of your life. I will watch it. I will be there to watch him. Man. And ironically, Jamie Lee Curtis does not like horror movies.
Yeah, I saw that. It's crazy.
And for her being such a scream queen, like mm-hmm. she's in Prom Night, Halloween. Is that all the two horror movies that she's in? But she's in a lot of Halloween. So for her not to like horror movies is pretty ironic.
So Robert Englund, if you don't know who that is.
That's Freddy Krueger.
Freddy Krueger. He revealed in an interview that John Carpenter had him throw bags of dead leaves on the set for one day.
They had him on set for one day.
Yeah.
Which is, it's cool. I say that all the time about this stuff. It's so cool. But, like, here you get Halloween, the birth of, like, the horror serial killer stalkers and stuff like that. Then you get Jason after that. And then you get Freddy, and Freddy's on your set. Like, mm-hmm. that's just cool to me. The writers of this movie wanted to play, like, a radio play.
Oh, I read something.
Like from way back in like mm-hmm. the old days, with scares every 10 minutes. So it's ironic that you and I just both said that this isn't scary. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot of like...
78 was probably kind of scary.
Well, and there's a lot of scenes in this movie where like Michael will be in a window and the music will go...
Yeah, that part.
Or something like that. So, or there's a part where like they walk right past him and he pops up out of nowhere. So I could see, I guess, like that, but not... Not actual scares every 10 minutes. There's not. No.
I mean, damn, I think that's all I got.
That's all you got? I got.
I mean, there's a lot of right. them, but I mean, some of them are pretty stupid.
Yeah. I've got a couple here. None of the comic books in Tommy's collection.
Oh, yeah, they aren't real.
Right? They are real. They're all copies of Howard the Duck, which is different.
Who has sex different with humans.
Titles. Yeah. Well, he boned.
Marty
McFly's mom.
No, he did. Don't say it.
And so, lastly, if you don't know who Blue Oyster Cult is,
Oh, this one was a good one. I did have this one.
So, well, I don't know if it's the same one, so you might need to back off it, but Laurie Strode and Annie are driving in the car, and they're listening to Don't Fear the Reaper on the radio. Mm-hmm. And Michael's driving behind them. I actually became a fan of that song because of this movie. And it's not even like on the score or anything like that. It's just one of those things that's in the movie, but they don't really get credit for it. So
yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Is that, that's all you got?
That's all I got. All
right, guys. Well, that's the facts.
You.
All right, guys. Well, now we're going to get into the movie. So once again, spoilers. If you haven't seen it,
just watch it.
Yep. Like we always say, just watch it. What's the plot?
15 years after murdering his sister on Halloween night in 1963, Michael Myers escapes from a mental hospital and returns to the small town of Haddonfield, Illinois, to kill again.
Pretty
sums it up.
Pretty simple, yeah. So the movie, like we said before, opens with this shot of the POV shot. This was an awesome shot, I thought. Like, a perfect way to start this movie out, right? So you get the shot of the kid.
It's like he's looking out in the bushes or something.
Right. Which, so already, movies bro, okay?
He's fucking creeping already. Is perving on his sister, dude.
If this dude is, I don't get the reason for the killing. Like, is he pissed because she chose to go to like Pound Town instead of taking her trick-or-treating? And like,
meat time.
Where are the parents in this? Like,
they were on
you
date,
and I
man.
Are both parents,
they
right?
Were on a date.
No. You and I are both parents. It's Halloween night, right?
Yeah, I ain't fucking going.
We're not going anywhere. My wife and I are not going on a date on Halloween night
right.
with kids. We're taking them trick-or-treating.
It's true. It's very true.
So it starts out.
Well, maybe it's different because like the age gap is so different. They're like, fuck, we don't have to go trick-or-treating. Like,
so the parents leave Mike with his sister on Halloween night.
Yep.
Dick move.
Yeah, that's pretty mean.
Yeah. And so, but he goes upstairs, or doesn't go upstairs right away. He walks in, grabs a knife, grabs a mask.
Right.
Little clown mask or whatever looking thing.
Did he kill the boyfriend too?
No, the boyfriend, like, he's a two-pump chump. He seriously...
There's nothing wrong with that if you're a two-pump chump. Don't let him do that to you.
Don't shame you.
Don't let him
pump shame you.
You're still getting it.
No, he really says, like, okay, let's go upstairs and... 3 seconds later.
Yeah, they shut the light out or whatever.
He's walking down the stairs, and she's like, call me tomorrow. And he's like, nah, okay.
Yeah. You're
like, walking out the door.
Was that line in Hitch, get in, get off, get out?
Whatever it is, but it was super quick.
Yeah.
But I don't get why he's just a deranged kid, obviously, because he's already got it predetermined that he's going to kill her.
What if they did a prequel as to how he got deranged?
No, he's 8 years old. How in you know interesting
Halloweenies is like little kids
Halloweenies. You know, how interesting could a prequel be?
I don't know.
So he goes upstairs. He puts a mask on for some reason. I don't. And so
that one's a clown mask,
right? But the whole thing I think is that Michael can't see like face his victims like seeing him.
Yeah,
this is my whole thought process on this. I don't know if it's true or not.
Dr. Los over here.
Yeah, so that's why he's putting the mask on every time that he kills.
So that, yeah.
He never kills without the mask.
So he's hiding behind it?
Yeah. So he goes upstairs. You see sister brushing her hair.
Boob alert.
Right after, like, I don't know if that's a thing. Like, if you just brush your hair after you get done doing the deed. Topless.
Maybe.
But whatever. And he goes up there and he just starts to stab away.
Michael.
Yeah. And you get the camera that looks over and you see the knife stabbing and
yeah, that's kind of funny looking.
And like he's literally stabbing in her leg. Yeah. Like it's her whole chest and like torso.
I don't know how that
untouched.
Would actually happen. Like you might get one stab in, but
like seriously
though,
probably
punt the little
like
punt
movies
the fucker,
bro.
You know?
Yeah, it's like Chucky.
Boom!
Like he's a little infant. Like he definitely
he's
could...
8. I mean,
and she's a full-grown woman.
Yeah, if you're like 16 or 17 getting stabbed, I just think of my oldest.
Like, I definitely could see him getting like one or two stabs in, you know?
Nothing like...
But before she just overtakes him.
Yeah.
But...
I don't even think they know where to stab. Like, we're getting literal here. Like, it probably wouldn't be a damaging stab. How deep could it go? I don't know.
Yeah. So, and then he walks outside, and you see the parents come home at perfect timing.
Yeah.
And they're all, Michael? And you
was alive, though.
You don't see it yet.
Well, but the ambulances are there, too, right? who called them, man?
There's another movies bro moment right there. Who calls them? I don't know. But
maybe
the parents just stare at him like, what did you do? Like, oh, my gosh.
Right.
You know?
Well, the way that, like, the Rob Zombie one is, like, you can tell he's, like, an abandoned kid that lives at home. If I'm right,
like, the Rob Zombie one definitely plays that like a little better.
Like,
she's the mom's a prostitute. She's a stripper, and the stepdad beats her and beats them. And
that gives you kind of a more of a reason why
he's
going to
snap.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think in this version, it also works if you're trying to play this as scary,
right?
That it's just he's just snapped. Yeah. Like, there's no motive behind his killings.
Yeah. I mean, the kid is kind of creepy when they take his mask off and he just has, like, this blank stare in his face. Like, zero remorse.
Right, yeah. But, like, so I think they lingered on this shot a little too long because the parents just look at him as the camera pans out.
All that dead space, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just a really weird, they don't, like, move at all. Mm. They just stare at him.
They're like, just stare at him.
Yeah.
It's like those Looney Tunes and the dog points at him and it sticks.
Oh, with the eyes or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the next scene, you get Loomis introduction.
Yep.
And
he's driving with the nurse.
The nurse, yeah. And they're going on their way to get Michael Myers. And he has a court date the next day, and they're just talking about banter back and forth and stuff like that. And Michael escapes and takes the car. And here's your movie's moment.
I already figured it out when what the facts.
So did you see... when Michael climbs onto the car and...
it's kind of weird, awkward. And has that...
yeah, but he's got like this little thing on his hand and you could totally see it so that when he breaks the window, it doesn't like cut his hand open and stuff like that. Yep. It's like a little circle palm thing or something. And it helps break the window, but it's totally visible. So he escapes and he heads back to Haddonfield.
He kills on the way too.
He does kill one person on the way.
That dude has a nice truck, too. I like that guy's truck.
That old red truck or whatever. Yeah. You get...
how did he know where to go, though? My son would not know where to go to get home like that.
It, right. So, okay. He freaking asked Siri, dude. He asked for directions.
What?
No, but you're right. When you're 8 years old and Haddonfield's like an hour away... right?
There's no
from
way.
Where he's being held.
I don't even think my kid could.
It would be hard to.
I don't even think my kid could get home from school.
Well, my son's horrible with directions. He could. Yeah.
It's just like, whatever. There's another movies, bro. I'm finding them as we go.
And I told you there's a whole bunch of them in this, but he finds his way. Movies, bro. That's how he gets home. And
followed the North Star.
Yeah. You get.
Or E.T. phone home.
E.T.
phone home.
We next meet Laurie Strode.
Yep.
And she is, you know, dropping off. This whole scene.
Well, the house is for sale. Michael's old house is for sale. It's boarded up. It's run down. And she had to drop the keys. Because her dad's a real estate agent.
Your dad's going to show it off or something later.
Like,
or something
the fuck
like that.
Would buy that? Like,
but seriously, like, honestly, this took place, what was it? How many years?
Was it 6?
Did they say from when he's killed? No, they said he's 21. He was 8 when he killed.
So it's 13 years.
13 years? The house isn't
going
to look
any
like
sense.
That
how
for 13
old is
years.
Laurie? Okay, if it's his sister.
He's not in this movie, though. Okay. That's why there's no mention of it. It's not till the second one.
Okay.
Because they needed a reason why Michael was still stalking Laurie in the second one.
Okay.
But, the house, there's no way that house would look like that after 13 years. I mean, even if it was condemned, it was better shape than that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a piece of shit house. No one would buy it. Showing the product, whatever.
Yeah. There's no
and
way.
And even
like,
in the 1998 one they did with Busta Rhymes, it looks the exact same.
Right.
Like, nobody sought to tear the shit down.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, that one was kind of cool because they made it like a game
TV,
show or reality show or something.
Everywhere.
You got to stay in this house or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought it was a good premise for a movie, but it was not a great movie.
No. Well, then you, like you said, you see Lori, then you meet little Tommy, and it just shows like an average morning before school.
Yeah, they're literally just walking to school.
I'm watching you tonight. And then you see Lori, she's in class, and she's looking out the window, and she sees the car.
She sees Michael, too.
Yeah, him just, like, creepily staring at her through the window. And then she answers a question and looks back.
Which, right there, movies bro moment, okay? Michael is supposed to be there to just haunt, or he's just randomly killing these people, right? Okay? Why is he already, like, stalking Lori, like, already predetermined?
How did she know when she was at school?
Right, well, right. There's a lot of movies.
How do I know what she looks like?
Well, it's not like he's trying to pick her because he knows her. It's just...
Oh, he found her because he was creeping out?
He's just a predetermined, like, he's just going to go kill random people. And so that's why I'm like, if that's the case, why wouldn't Michael just kill, like...
Why drive an hour?
Bunch of people. Like, if he just wants to kill...
Yeah.
Just kill.
Go to the mall or something.
There are a lot of plot holes in this movie.
Yeah, that's a lot. You're taking some of the fun away from movie.
No way. No, this movie is still absolutely great. But then you get the introduction of Annie and Linda after this.
Yep.
And they're walking home and just having a conversation on the whole way home. You know?
Yeah.
They're talking about they're going to a dance tomorrow.
One of them can't, their boyfriend can't go because he got caught egging.
Yeah.
Something. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, they're all babysitting that night. And they're all trying to figure out how their boyfriends can come over.
I love the dialogue in it, though. Like, Annie's all, old Jerkle got caught throwing
eggs
at someone's house or something. Yeah. But they do have this random dialogue, but you do get to kind of realize that Lori's the goody two shoes.
Oh yeah.
Linda is the promiscuous one, and Annie's kind of like in the middle. Yeah. She's not goody two shoes, but she's not on Linda's page.
I mean, Linda's smoking a cigarette and talking about how she's forgetting her books, like she doesn't give a fuck.
And I love the did you notice the high heel sandals with socks on? The black socks. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And then when they're talking, you see Michael drive by. And, like, Lori seems, like, really disturbed or...
Another movies bro moment here, okay? You're a deranged killer, and I know you've got one thought on your mind. It's killing.
Why not just get out and do it right
killing,
there?
Chilling. Right. Just get out and do it right there.
Yeah.
Get it over with. And then why are you still driving the state hospital car if you're trying to, like... But I guess
I'm
Michael's
not a smart man, Jenny.
He's not trying to hide... At all. He's just trying to plot. But, like, seriously, why don't you just kill?
And then, get out of the car and I never thought of that. Just, like, pull on the curb, make it all, like, extra.
Right? But, so Annie, at this point, Michael's, like, starts to fly by, and he's, like, 45, like, feet down the road. Like, not.
Speed
he's
kills.
Way down the road. And he's like, speed kills, jerk. And he slams on the brakes, like, he could hear that.
Yeah.
There's no way. And he drives off after that, and he's like, geez, it was just a joke.
You're going to get us in trouble.
Yeah. And then they start walking home. They continue walking home, and you get the part where Michael pops out of the bush.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she sees him right there.
Yeah.
There's
no... Where'd he park
the car? Right. Where did he know they were going? Like, it's just... a really bad plot, or not plot, I guess, but just...
It's weird. Every time I watch this part, it reminds me of, like, walking home from school with my friends.
Did you walk home?
Yeah.
I did,
too. Franklin. Sorry, this conversation is not going to help anybody who doesn't live where we live. I walked home from Franklin, Shawshin, but just walking home, like, this totally reminds me of just walking home after school, just bullshitting. And
I walked home with... I would walk with my childhood friends, Matt and Josh... And we went down, our school was just down the street and to the right from where we lived. But yeah, I totally remember, like, when we went to another school, we walked that way to that school too. And totally, like, this is like just the kind of conversations that you would have with your friends when you're walking home.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I never walked home in high school, but
I did a couple times. There was a couple times where my car would break down or run out of gas or you shouldn't be driving. And so, you know, but
I mean, really, the only other part you get kind of weirded out is when you stand in the neighbor's fucking yard.
Right.
Remember that she's like looking out her window and he's like sitting there by like the underwear and the bed sheets and.
Oh, that
it's scene. Probably Mr. Whatever. He's senile or whatever she says, whatever Annie says.
No, I love the meme that that came from this scene where Michael's behind the bush. Have you seen that one?
Probably.
It's like where you like a post, how you look when you like a post that's 42 weeks old or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just great.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine. I don't think she listens, but she has a hedge that she runs on. Like she runs on a trail or something like that. And there's a hedge there. She says, every time I walk by this, I keep expecting Michael Myers to pop up.
You should pop over one day and do it.
Well, she lives in a different town than me, so I'm not going to drive over there.
Well, it depends on how dedicated you are.
I'm not Michael Myers dedicated. Right. No. But she bops into Annie's dad right here.
Oh, yeah. I jumped.
You jumped?
No, I jumped in the movie.
Oh, well, we're not going. I'm just.
Oh, okay.
We're just talking about the movie, and I just happen to be going in order right now.
I got you.
So. But she jumps into Annie's dad. And this is that scene where you're talking that she, like... It almost looks like she breaks character and starts laughing.
She's about to start laughing.
It's really bad. You think that Carpenter could have taken another cut at this or something?
Maybe that was the best cut that they could get.
I want to see the cuts that they had if this is the best cut, because it's not great.
Nope.
It's really bad, actually.
Yep. I mean, after, you know... This part in the backyard part. They go to she's like driving that big ass red boat that her mom's car or something like that, Annie.
Yeah.
They're like smoking a joint.
Well, she picks up, we just got enough time. Here's another movies bro moment right here for you of that part, okay? So they're driving around and she's all, shit, it's my dad. And like, turn the other direction.
Yeah.
Like, why do you have to turn where your dad's at?
Yeah.
If, We failed to mention Annie's dad is a cop, so it's a little bit more, you know, reason why she's trying to hide the pot.
But, somebody robbed the home goods store and took a mask and a couple knives.
Yeah. But also, so I don't, if that scene is there to imply that Michael Myers stole that stuff, that he broke into there, he already has the mask at this point.
Yeah.
You've seen him with the mask on, because in this scene right here, he drives by with Loomis talking, or he drives in the background.
So how long were they while there? Loomis is there. He had the mask at school.
And he had the mask at school too. So if he's the, and if that's an alarm, it's a really bad alarm.
Well, if it's been on all day.
And who's not open? Like if it's like just a hardware store or something like that.
Maybe they're on lunch.
It's like, it's like, literally, after school, it's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
You see that when they drive past there, it's still light out, and by the time they get to the kid's house, it's dark.
Right.
So if you know anything about Midwest, it's usually dark. At Halloween, it's usually dark by 5:36.
Yeah.
So this was probably at like 4:45.
Right, in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So they've got to be open. They're not at lunch.
Yeah, good call. We're breaking down the time frame here.
Well, that's another movies bro moment right there. How would they not know that Michael is not, or that's not Michael, but somebody is right behind them? He's literally like 4 feet from their taillights.
I know when people follow me, if I take like 3 left turns and they're still behind me, I'm like.
Right, because usually nobody takes 3 left turns. So that's a good way to figure out if somebody's following.
Just in general, like. Right. The other day, a guy followed me from Windsor. From the Windsor King Supers to the Greeley King Super. And I was like, did I cut the dude off? Or like, what did I do? Nope.
No. So. But so they pull up to wherever they're babysitting. They're babysitting. So Annie is.
All these houses are like right behind each other.
Right.
Too.
Annie is babysitting. What is her name? I forget her name. But Lori is babysitting Tommy Doyle.
Tommy Doyle.
And. They're literally like just houses down the street. Lindsay, that's right. Lindsay. How could I forget that? Yeah. It's Paul. But they pull up and Annie gets out, or Lori gets out, and Michael's right behind them. Like, yeah. Pulls up right behind them.
Same car.
In the same car with their lights on in the dark. So they know somebody's right there. Are you just that, like, oblivious in that time frame, like 1978, yep. Like, of your surroundings? Like,
I think so.
That's the only reason that it's that you can explain that away.
They're stoned and they don't even know because they were smoking weed.
What were they, like?
Well, what else would they be smoking?
Well, no, I know they were smoking weed, but, like, yeah. Were they stoned? Like, they got, like, two puffs in, and then, like,
well,
they had to put it out because the dad was there.
Could have been some good shit. Could have laced it with something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know.
In 1978, that's like ditch weed, I guess. You
never know. It's enough to make it illegal, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah. But, so then we get into the babysitting scenes here. Yep. This was kind of funny. Annie is on the phone with Lori. They're talking about Ben Tramer, who Lori has a crush on.
Yes.
And she wants to go to the dance with him.
Ben Tramer.
Yeah. But she's like making popcorn or something in this neighborhood or these people's houses, right?
Yeah.
And she spills something on her.
I think it was butter.
Was it grease or butter or something like that? She's like, oh, I made a mess of myself. And she's like, I got to call you back. And she hangs up right away, like, urgent, urgent. And she strips naked, well, into her underwear, right in these people's houses.
And like, gets in the dad's shirt.
Right.
If
so
I came home
weird.
And started babysitting my shirt, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Dad comes home and wife's there.
Why? Yeah, that's another thing. Like, what if, like, she didn't, like, he didn't know when he wears it and it smells like a different woman? And the wife's like,
right.
This doesn't smell like me.
Right.
Well, I thought it was funny that they're supposed to be in Illinois, correct?
Yeah.
And their washing machine and dryer is out in the backyard in, like, a pool house. Not a pool house, but, like, a shed.
Right. That's the other part that was absolutely hilarious to me.
Whatever, dude.
Because, like, you know that in the middle of the winter, that's not – nobody's walking back and forth to do their laundry outside in 4 feet of snow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the killing scenes, I think, on all these were good. I mean, what's her name? Linda?
Yeah. PJ Souls.
Yeah. She's not even watching a kid.
No, her whole plan is to just go over to Annie's kid or Annie's house and bone.
Well, she didn't go to either.
She went to Annie's house.
Oh, she did go to Annie's house, but Annie wasn't there.
Annie was already left and been killed at that point.
She just gets done boning. This site tells you how strong Michael Myers is, though, because he picks that dude up. What's his name? Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Picks him up.
Right.
Picks him up and puts him up against the wall.
He force chokes him like Vader.
Force chokes him, and he's got like a foot, if not more, from his bottom of his feet to the floor.
You know what I love about the kills in this is they're so horrible.
Yeah.
So let's go through them real quick. Annie dies in the car by being strangled by Michael.
Doesn't he stab her through behind the chair?
No, he just strangles her.
Oh, I thought he put one
no.
through behind the chair.
No.
Okay.
And she gives these, like, this stupid facial expression as she dies.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, she closes her eyes and, like, to act like she's dead. And then she opens them again.
Yeah.
Like, she's going down. Paul gets stabbed in the chest or
that
the heart.
That might be what I'm thinking of. Yeah, when he's put up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But, like, it gets stabbed instantly.
Yeah.
And just right away dies.
Yeah.
Like, there's no, like, struggle.
According to the serial killers I listen to on a podcast, it's nothing like that.
Right. Right.
It's like slow.
PJ Souls, Linda's character.
She dies naked too.
She dies topless. Yeah. She has a shirt on. And like, this is another part of the movie that I was like, movies, bro. Okay. Michael comes in. He's in a ghost sheet. Like, why? He's like just
like
toying with her.
Like, he cut the fucking eyelid, the eye holes out.
Right. Like, there's no reason for him to be in that sheet.
Just get it done, man.
Right. Just take her out.
And, like what you see.
Yeah. Jerko, where's my beer?
Yeah.
And so he dies by, or she dies by
stabbing.
Strangulation.
Oh, yeah.
A phone cord. Yeah. And it's just, her death is a little bit more believable because it's a little bit more dragged on.
So, like, later on, do you think Michael would kill the kids?
That's a great question.
Because it made it seem like he was, the way Lori was acting when he was in the house, like, mm-hmm. he was trying to get to the kids instead of her. That's how I
Right.
Like, run out the window. Or, you know, take her and, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then I don't know because it's movies, bro. Like, seriously, like, if he's just out to kill, why isn't he just killing every random person that he sees on the street?
Right. Dude walking his dog. Done. Dude picking weeds. Done.
Right.
But, I mean, so, even when he's trying to kill Lori when she's in the closet, how hard is it to kill somebody when they're in that tiny-ass closet?
Well, and then Lori, like, I don't know how many times she does the typical, I'm going to stab him, he's hurt, I think he's dead, and then walk away. So there's one part where she actually does something brilliant when she picks up the knife in the in the closet and stabs him with it. Because, like, I'm thinking, like, most horror movies, you sit there and you see a person, and they're struggling, and the
just look at them.
They just wait for them, like, to go away or something like that. Or they won't even pick up a weapon.
Go to your room. Go to your room.
You're grounded. Get out of here.
You're grounded.
But she actually stabs him. But she takes those, like, knitting needles, stabs him in the neck.
Yeah.
That's going to take you out. Like,
done.
Literally done. Like, that's a jugular shot right there. Like, you're done. And then she gets him in the eyes with the coat hanger.
Yeah.
That's not going to stab him. That's going to bend.
I don't know, dude. They're metal hangers.
It's not that sturdy, though. It's going to bend. I mean, if it's a direct eye shot, I could see maybe stabbing the eyeball.
Yeah.
But, like, if it's any other part of the face or anything like that, it's bending.
No, I get you. I mean, okay, to kind of go back with that part where, like, they wait. All these movies set up the perfect line in the movie Scream. You know what part I'm talking about?
I'm sure it will.
What's his name was like, this is the part of the horror movie where they all come back for one more more kill, right. One more try. And if you watch any of these movies from the 70s and 80s,
well,
none of them die on the first when they act like they're dead.
Right.
So
a lot of the things that they say in Scream come from Halloween.
Yeah.
They're actually watching Halloween in Scream in that party scene. But so, like, the rules that what is his Jamie Kennedy's Randy? That's it. Yeah,
I just watched it the other night.
That Randy lays out are, you never say I'll be right back. Paul says Paul says I'll be right back. I'm gonna go. I'll go get a beer. I'll be right back.
Yep.
You never have sex, and everybody that has sex dies.
Yep.
Annie doesn't have sex, but she dies. But it's insinuated that she's had sex before.
Yes.
With Paul or her boyfriend. And then you always make that the killer always comes back for one final scare.
Yeah.
And Michael does that not once, not twice, but three times in this movie.
Yep.
I guess last time he doesn't, he's just like,
he scuttles off.
Yeah, he's just got to escape.
Put his tail between his legs, fights another day.
Yeah. But so Lori gets this hair up her ass after she gets the call from PJ Souls, or I keep saying PJ Souls, from Linda.
Because she's like, makes that like gargling. Yeah.
And
you guys are bro.
Yeah. But she keeps saying, like, are you okay? Are you okay?
That is kind of funny. And then she, when they're having sex.
Right. But she walks across the street. And I love this shot, and it's really a cool looking shot.
Did you find it funny how they shut the lights off?
Yeah, why is Mike shutting the lights off?
That's what I was thinking. I was just like, she's like, we're going across the street, and then the light shut off. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a really slow walk across the street, and you get this great music that plays throughout this scene. And each scene has, like, its own, like, music. Like, when it's an intense fight scene, it's got, you know, when it's calm and walking, it's got the same music. And Lori walks across the street, and she finds out that all of her friends are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so another thing that I don't get any reason why he laid out Annie this way, but he gets the Judith Myers headstone as his sister, right? That he killed.
Yep.
And Annie gets laid out on the bed with the tombstone in the bed. And I don't get why, other than just a visual, like the reason that that's like that. And then Paul falls down from the stairs. And then Linda is in, like, a dumb way. It's like a closet, but it's like, seems like it's the size of a dumb waiter.
Yeah.
And she's got her eyes open. Like, that's the other thing that, like, this whole scene is they all have their eyes open.
Yeah.
Like, when they die. And I know that you can have your eyes open when you die, but it's just the way that they did it was really bad.
Right.
The acting on it.
Yep.
Nope. So now we're at like the end scene. We only have like 20 minutes left in the movie here. Michael tries to stab Lori right here. And this was great in my opinion.
Right.
Like one little slice down the, he gets her shoulder enough to cut the shirt
and leave like a
little itty bitty blood trail.
Tis but a scratch.
Tis but a flesh wound.
I think he came, like, I think when he got in the house, I think he came in the back door, didn't he? I don't remember what door he came in.
But so he gets out of there and he almost did like a genius move. You know, if he's planning on Lori running down this way as far as getting out of the house.
Yeah.
Because he props like a garden rake up in the door so she can't open the door. So she ends up having to break it. And every time I watch this scene, I see, like, you can tell that that little panel of the window is a different, like, shade or, like, different material or something because it looks different.
It's like the old school cartoons, like in Scooby-Doo, I always think of it. When they open a door, the door is, like, a slightly lighter, a slightly darker, like, color than...
Oh, because that's the one that they actually have to animate, like, opening and everything else is, like, solid? Okay,
that's what it reminded me of. See it.
Okay, yeah, I totally see that now. But so she runs across the house to runs across the street.
Yep.
And here I'm gonna give the douche award to this unknown actress or actor, whoever it is, the neighbor. She runs across the street and she's pounding on their window. Their lights are on, or she's pounding on their front door, screaming, "Help me! Help me! Help me! Somebody's after me! Help me!" And they shut the lights off and let her die.
Well, it's Halloween. Like, you got to think of it, though. It's Halloween. Kids are, like, out fucking around.
No, I get that. But seriously, somebody's going to come like, and poke bang head out the on window. My house. Yeah. Look out the window and see she's, you know, stressed or anything like that.
That's true.
You know, nowadays, you open that with a gun. Like, you open the door with a gun in your hand.
Yeah.
Like,
what you want?
What do you want? Do you really need help or whatever? But douche award right there, hands down.
You suck, neighbor.
Yeah.
The worst neighbors ever.
So she runs across the street, and at one point in this, we forgot to go over, like, the Annie kill, where she goes to the car, and she forgets the keys, because she's going to go pick up her boyfriend.
Right.
And she comes back, and the door is open.
Yep.
How did Michael get in the car?
That's a great question, because the car's locked.
The car door is locked.
And wait, hold on, enough of that, like... Babysitter's not parking her car in my garage.
Right.
That's part like 100 millionth of this movie. Is like,
and like you lock your car door, but you leave the house door wide open.
Wide open.
You know? Stupid. But so she, at that point, Annie had brought over Lindsay to Lori's house, or where, to Tommy Doyle's house.
Yes, she could.
So that she could watch both of them while they go to Pound Town.
Yep.
And so both those kids are over there, and she... Lori put them to bed. She comes back to the house, pounding on the window.
Yep.
And Tommy just like wakes up sleepy.
Yeah, he's like upstairs.
Yeah, and like he's like, okay, I'm coming.
She threw the planter up at the window.
Yeah, and so Michael is walking across the street as they're doing, or as she's trying to get into the house. She finally gets into the house, and she stabs him, or she gets the kids upstairs.
Yeah, she's like safety. In front of the couch, and that's when she grabs that.
That little knitting needle.
She gets him in the neck.
And he looks like he's out for the count, you know?
Well, yeah.
And,
man, if that was me, dude, I'd be going in, like, I would be
right away. Guy. Like, why wouldn't you just, like, go to town, just like...
He would be the guy that has, like, 45 stab
wounds. Yeah, the officers like, would legit. Be like, 50 stab wounds is a bit excessive.
Fuck you.
You go tell him, Lizzie like, Borden on his ass. Seriously. Like, seriously. If he's down and you have a butcher's knife in like your hand.
That's the big knife is what we call it in our house. That's the big knife.
The big knife. And she's not just trying to stab. She just sits there peacefully while he's back there. There's no way I'm taking my eyes off of him.
No. So, I'd be like over him like with it like a millimeter away from his foot. Like, I would probably cut the guy's head. I don't know. I would probably cut his head off.
So many better ways to take care of that situation, Lori, than what you did.
He could have killed her many times throughout the movie. He just happened to drive by and
just kind of dick with her.
Yeah, dick around with her.
But, so she ends up in a closet, and I love this scene. Like, he's trying to bust through the closet like you can't open a freaking closet door.
Open the door, dude.
Yeah. And she stabs him in the eye, like I said, with the coat hanger, and he goes down again.
Yep.
And she sits there. She thinks it's over, whatever. And he sits up like, dude has abs of steel. He doesn't flinch his body from laying flat to straight up.
Yep.
Doesn't like touch anything on the floor. Just
it's fluid too. Like when I do it, I'm just like, I'm like,
you kind of rotate a little bit or something like that. Yeah.
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 Exactly
just straight up. And then here comes Loomis to save the day.
Yeah.
You know, and he fires one shot at him. Mm-hmm. And Michael kind of just like backs off. And I thought this was another like movies bro moment. Like he's been shot, obviously. But when Loomis comes in the door, he's standing right there.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't Michael attack him? Why wouldn't it like he try to hide or get away?
Exactly.
Or whatever. But he's just standing there for the other shots.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And Loomis fires the rest of his shots into six shooter into him.
Yeah.
And Michael falls out the window into the yard.
In the yard.
And they kind of have this whole thing that throughout the movie where they're talking about the boogeyman and the boogeyman's real and
stupid Tommy
throughout the entire movie. And Laurie says to Dr. Loomis, she goes, that was the boogeyman, or that really was the boogeyman. He goes, yes, that really was. And then he goes off.
Harp, 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 harp.
He goes to the patio or the balcony of this room. And Michael's gone.
He's gone. Do, 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 do,
do, do, do, do, and that is the movie.
Do, 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 do.
But I love it because, so if you watch the second movie.
I might watch that tonight. You have that?
Yeah, I have it.
All right.
Yeah. But
is Jamie Lee Curtis in the whole movie?
Yeah. Well, so she's not in a lot of it because she had become famous at that point.
Yeah.
And really didn't want to do a sequel,
right?
But they paid her enough money, I guess, or something like that to do it. So there's actually, she just spends most of her time in the hospital bed in that movie.
Oh, okay.
She has a really, 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 really bad wig in that movie.
Uh-oh.
Because she had already cut her hair to the, what we know Jamie Lee Curtis to have, like that, whatever, like the pixie cut or whatever it's called.
I gotcha.
The really short Karen look. And
Karen look. That's funny.
And so they had to put a wig on her to make her look like Laurie from this movie. Gotcha. And it was a really bad, bad choice. But the first part of that movie starts off like, yeah, like you said, it's like the last 10 minutes of this movie is the first 10 minutes of that movie. There's a couple angles that you get. Like you actually see Michael getting shot out the window.
I remember that part, him falling out.
And then he falls onto, like, a grass, and you can tell that it's different grass because it's, like, almost, like, weeded, like a dirt field in the first one, and in the second one, it's, like, actual grass.
Okay.
And it's got, like, his imprint in the grass, like, where
it's
he's...
like in the Santa Claus.
Where he's
landed. You killed him!
Yeah. Of course, with no blood anywhere.
None.
Whatsoever.
Dude doesn't bleed. He had his eye gouged out, and he got a sewing needle to the jugular.
Right. So, if I had to take it and say... as far as what movies to watch in this movie or in this franchise, you watch one, you watch two, watch three because it stands alone by itself. Four and five, you can skip. Laurie's not in those at all. It takes place.
It's like the Friday the 13th.
Like the cousin or something, or like it's like a relative of Laurie's. But it's got Melissa Harris in it is who I think plays that role. And she ends up actually playing Annie in the remake of Rob Zombie's Halloween.
Oh, okay.
So just kind of cool little nod that way. Definitely see H2O.
I like that.
That's a great one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's in it. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it.
Josh
Hartnett's first movie.
That's his first movie?
Yep. Huh. And then you get Janet Leigh. And this is what I was telling Ty about off, you know, air, and he was talking about earlier, but you get Janet Leigh that shows up in this little scene. She's like the
director. She says, don't mind the part that I liked, and she's like, it's just a little bit of motherly advice.
Right, but she also says the same line. She says, it's Halloween. I guess everybody's entitled to one good scare.
Yep.
And I think they say that in almost every Halloween movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
They say it a lot. But... if you listen faintly to the score, you get the Psycho theme song. not the ring, but the when she's driving theme song, the more like
flowy music.
And it's got the car from Psycho. And it is the last time, I'm pretty sure, that you see Janet Leigh on film. So she gets her break, or not a break, she was a big star before Psycho. But she's most known for Psycho, and she exits in Halloween, which is a total like love letter to Psycho, and her daughter's in it.
Bye.
So just really cool. And so to continue on with it, watch Halloween, the Rob Zombie remake. Skip the second one. Total
never
trash.
Saw the second
one. It's so hard to understand. And then Resurrection is okay if you like that kind of, it's like a, like we said,
more of a comedy. I felt like there was more comedy to it.
If you have watched a,
is that the one with Busta Rhymes?
late 90s horror movie, like it's just cheese like that. Like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Halloween Resurrection.
Scream
is stands on its own. Scream is not in that class whatsoever.
Right.
Scream brought horror back from the dead. Like it was dead until Scream came out. And then definitely watch the new Halloween. You definitely have to watch it.
You have that one?
I do. It is super good. Yeah, do that. So I want to know how you feel about this. So watch that one first.
The new Halloween?
The new one, the 2018 one.
And
then watch the second one and tell me if like you can pick up the storyline, because the new one is just supposed to disregard everything else except for the first Halloween. It's supposed to be a direct sequel to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my... ratings as far as those movies on which ones you should watch. And now we will get into our actual ratings of this movie.
Ooh.
Well, guys, thanks again for always for listening.
Yep.
Follow us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Is It Really Though, or THO 20.
Yep.
Me at Matt Really, THO. That's just a movie handle. So it's nothing like.
Really, Matt?
Yeah. It's not really anything else other than movies. So.
Yep.
But thanks for listening for the Halloween spook season.
Right.
Next week, we are kicking off our Thanksgiving month.
Four movies
that are all listener requests. So thank you for listening, and I'm sorry that it took so long. We had some movies we wanted to get to, but here we go. Everything that you guys have requested, we're gonna do this next month. We got four movies. And here we're gonna do 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Shout out to Andy.
Andy has requested this one. My stepdad has requested Soylent Green, and I have not seen
Charlton Heston. Yeah.
So we're going to watch that one. We're going to watch Parasite, or more or less read Parasite, from what I heard. So,
yeah, I don't know. It won awards. So
yeah.
Cool.
It's got like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
Is it really though?
And then we're going to watch, you and I kind of have a debate about what the title of this movie is. It's not The Edge of Tomorrow. It's called Live, Die, Repeat.
Edge of Tomorrow. Just make it simple, please.
But the Tom Cruise Groundhog's Day movie. I have not seen any of these, so
I've seen one of them.
This will be a good, like, actual judgment on if the movie really lives up to what people say they do or not, and not something that is cherished by us. But those are the movies.
Yeah, thank you again for watching, and have a happy Halloween.
Be safe.
Do, 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 do.